Our scripture reading this evening is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. As I structured the service, we focused in the previous portions of the service on our Savior's death on the cross, and this evening we'll be focusing on these verses in chapter 14 concerning the Lord's Supper and the Passover. So let us begin by reading at Mark 14, beginning at verse 12. This is the Word of God. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them as they prepared, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came to with the 12, and they were reclining at the table and eating. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." He began to be sorrowful and say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread and blessed it, and blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." Thus the reading of God's Word this evening, as we find it in Mark 14. Each year our family gathers together for a Passover meal, which is centered around the fulfilled Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come. But did you know that the context of the Lord's Supper, as it is described here in Mark and in other Gospels, the context of that description is based on the Passover meal. As you see on your outlines this evening, there were four cups in the Passover, and each cup was connected to these verses in Exodus 6, verses 6 through 7. The first cup, as it tells us in that passage, is for the promise. And the promise is, "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out," that is, out of the burden of the Egyptians. The second cup, and its promise, is that God has declared, "I will deliver you from slavery," the slavery of Egypt. The third Passover cup promise is God's promise that he will redeem them from with an outstretched arm with great acts of judgment. And we know of the judgment of God upon the Egyptians as God brought the plagues and as God brought that tenth plague, the Passover and the death of the firstborn. The fourth cup promise states that God will take you to be his people, and you, God declares, "I will be your God." So these four cups are laid out in such a way in this particular Exodus passage, and as the Passover was celebrated by the Jewish people, that their meal was structured around these four cups. And the meal and the singing that went on was connected to the cups and the promises. So how was the meal arranged? At the beginning of the meal, the Passover meal, participants take their place at the head of the household and they read and sing the Psalms. In particular, Psalms 113 and 118, Psalms which are Psalms of celebration concerning the deliverance and thanksgiving to the Lord. These Psalms give praise to God for His deliverance from the land of Egypt. Praise to God for His goodness and for His grace. And after the people have gathered and have sung those particular songs, they pronounce the blessing on the drinking of the first cup. What is that blessing? What is that promise? I will bring you out. God's promise that He will bring them out of their burden of the Egyptians. Well, after the first cup has been drunk, as the first blessing has been pronounced, God has His people bring in the particular parts of the meal to remind them of their slavery. Now, there are different parts that are included, but four of the main items of food that were brought in were items to remind them in particular of that slavery in Egypt. Bitter herbs were brought in to remind them of the bitterness of their slavery. They were eating stewed fruit, which was of the color of clay, to remind them of the bricks that they had made. They were brought and put before a Passover lamb with the bone of the lamb to show and demonstrate and to remind them of what was put upon their doorposts as a substitute for the firstborn of the Egyptians were all put to death. And finally, as part of the meal, brought before the family and the people was the unleavened bread to remind them how they had to leave the land of Egypt in haste before the bread had time to rise because of God's redemption. All of this meal is made ready. All of this meal is set before them before the second cup is served. And so as the second cup then is put before them, the promise of the second cup from God is, I will deliver you from slavery. The meal is put before them, which reminds them of slavery. They drink the second cup, and they declare in the drinking of that cup that God will and has delivered them from bondage and slavery. And so following the drinking of the second cup, they begin to eat the meal. And while the meal is eaten, there is also a time where they are reminding the children of God's deliverance for them, of what happened long ago during the Exodus time, how God had delivered them by the plagues, how God had delivered them from slavery by the blood of the Passover lamb. And as that cup is drunk, and as they reflect upon those things, they know and enjoy this meal, giving thanks to God for His deliverance. And so after eating the meal, they would offer a prayer of thanksgiving before they drank the third cup. The third cup promise which declares, I will redeem you from the outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. God's promise that He will redeem them. God's promise that He will redeem them through an act of judgment. And as they partake of that meal, as they drink that third cup, they are reminded of the deliverance of the Lord that has come to them. Following the drinking of the third cup and the singing of the Psalms 116 through 118, the fourth cup comes before them. The fourth cup promise, which states, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. The third cup describing the redemption from an outstretched arm and with the great hand of judgment. But now that that judgment has taken place, now that they have been redeemed and delivered, the fourth cup promise is, I will take you as my people and will be your God. This was the conclusion of the Passover meal. Now, there are more details that are part of the Passover meal and sometimes the celebrations that you see families do today. But the point for our message today is to recognize the flow of these cups. Four cups in the Passover meal, four cups symbolizing the redemption of God. And as this meal is celebrated, we can see it in our text from Mark chapter 14. Now you notice as the passage begins in verse 12, it is the first day of unleavened bread, and they have sacrificed the Passover lamb. The disciples are asking, "Where will you have us go to prepare to eat the Passover?" And there was much preparation that had to take place. All the food had to be prepared. A room with a table big enough that the disciples and Jesus could celebrate the Passover together. You can see how the questions are asked, "Where will we go? Where will it take place?" And Jesus sends two of his disciples, verse 13, and he tells them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And so the disciples set out. They went to the city and found it just as he had told them. And there they prepared the Passover. And so as the Passover has been prepared, it was an important time, an important festival for the people of Israel. It was also a time where families experienced peace. Here it was a time where they were remembering the redemption of God. A time where they shut the doors of their homes and inside together gathered as a family celebrating the redemption of God. But here, as we read in our text, in this time of peace, the Lord points out that there is one man who is not of peace. Verse 17, "And when it was evening, he came to the 12, and as they were reclining at the table eating, Jesus said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.'" Now you notice what's taking place here. As the author is setting up, as the gospel writer is setting up the Passover, he tells us that they are eating. Now if you've remembered the four cups of the Exodus Passover meal, you're left saying, well, why don't we see the four cups right here in our text? But the signal as to where they are in this Passover meal is the fact that verse 17 tells us they are reclining at the table and eating. That means the first cup promise has taken place. The Lord has declared, "I will bring you out from the burden of the Egyptians." The second cup promise, "I will deliver you from your slavery." And that's where the meal takes place before the third cup. So the disciples are eating, and the promises have been made forth, and there comes the one who betrays them. Verse 19, "They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, 'Is it I?' And he said to them, 'It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not even been born.'" Then the Lord, in verse 22, while they were eating, takes bread. And after he blessed it and broke it, he gave it to them and he said, "Take, this is my body." Now the disciples must have been wondering to themselves, what does the Lord mean by this? The unleavened bread was bread meant to remind them of the hastiness of their departure from the land of Egypt. But now the Lord holds up the bread and he gives thanks and he breaks it and he says, "Take, eat, this is my body." Jesus was not literally giving them his body, but the bread that he gives them is the promise to the disciples and his church that he will be with them. Whenever they eat this bread, from now on, Jesus will be present with them. They don't have to sacrifice a lamb anymore on Good Friday. They don't have to think of the blood that was shed in terms of a lamb and participating in that ceremony. On the other hand, there is the bread representing the body of the Lamb of God, with the promise of God that he will be with them and his church wherever they celebrate this meal. And then we read in the next verse, verse 23, that he takes the cup. Now remember where we are in the service. Earlier in verse 17, we see that they're already eating the meal. That means that the first two cups have already been served. And now the third cup, with its promise, I will redeem you from the outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment, is now spoken by our Lord. Verse 23, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. The wine representing the blood, shed blood, his blood. The wine which represents, as Jesus said, the redemption of God. The third cup, which states, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. Judgment of God upon him. His blood poured out and shed for them. God's judgment has come upon the Savior. And in the serving of the third cup, the disciples are identifying with him and his death and the judgment of God for their sin that fell upon him. As the church participates in that supper, again, we don't have a Passover lamb here today, but his blood represented in the wine, God's presence. Our Savior's presence, our Savior's blood spilled for us, represented in that wine to remind you of his payment for your sin. But then you ask yourself, as the Lord has instituted this meal, where is the fourth cup? Where is the fourth cup in our text where it says, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God? Well, you notice in the last verse of our text, Jesus makes one more statement about drinking the fruit of the vine. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. There is still one more cup to drink. A cup which represents the fulfillment in all completion of the great salvation of God. Our Lord describes the time period of the drinking of that fourth cup, a fourth cup which is still yet to be drunk. A drinking of that cup, it new in the kingdom of God. When our Lord returns, when all of his people will be with him forever in heaven, together at the wedding supper of the Lamb in eternity, we will partake of the fourth cup of the promise fulfilled with our Lord and with our Savior in heaven. But in the meantime, the Lord has left us with his promise. The fourth cup, where God declares, I will take you as my people. I will be your God. But yet our Lord does not drink it. For that cup will be drunk with him in eternity when all things are made new. Our Lord will soon go off to be arrested and falsely accused and betrayed by that Judas, that disciple who was there and part of the meal. Judas had previously, we're told in Mark's gospel, agreed in verse 10 that he would betray him and he would be paid for his betrayal. And he looked for his opportunity even as he sat around the meal. And yet, through his betrayal, through his arrest of our Savior and his death, our Savior has conquered death. He has come out of the grave, and yes, we know that someday we will drink with him of that fourth cup. But in the meantime, he has left us a meal to remind us of the salvation that has been fulfilled in terms of the Passover meal, a meal to remind us in one cup of the salvation that has come to us, a salvation in which we know that our Savior and his death on the cross and his resurrection has paid for our sins, in which we have been redeemed, a supper in which we know that his presence is here with us as we participate, that not physically, but spiritually, he is present here as this meal is served. Someday, we may see him in heaven in all his glory, face to face. But even now on earth, we have a visible taste of that eternity that comes from heaven as we partake of this meal. And so this evening, as we celebrate this supper, it is not a supper like the Passover in its details. We do not have a lamb present here. We do not have to shed blood. We do not have to have a cross ceremony where someone is nailing some wood back in the corner to remind us of the sounds. Or as you even see today, some will sacrifice themselves on a cross just so that they can feel what it was like for our Lord's suffering. None of those things taking place here this evening. But instead, we have the fulfillment of the Passover. We recognize that we do not have four cups, but we have our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought us out. We have our Savior in this supper who has freed us from our bondage to sin. We recognize that in this bread and this wine, we do what Jesus did when he said, "This do in remembrance of me." We break the bread representing his body, his presence. We drink of the wine representing of the wrath that was taken, what was put upon him for our sins, and that our sins are washed away and paid for. And we taste now, even on earth, a small portion of the final fourth cup, which will someday come in all of its fullness in heaven with him. This supper is a reminder. This supper is the Lord's presence with us. This supper is a sign and a seal of the salvation that God has given to you. As we think of our Savior on Good Friday, we are reminded of the accomplished work of redemption that has taken place for us. As we partake of this meal in which our Lord instituted in fulfillment of the Passover meal, we rejoice in the full picture of God's salvation which is here before us and to which we this evening participate as a sign and a seal of His grace to all of you. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for the opportunity on Good Friday to gather as your people and hear from your word and sing praise to you. And also, O Lord, partake in this sacrament. We pray, O Lord, that as we partake this evening, you would bless us and our hearts, that our hearts would be grateful to you for the grace that has come to us, that we would come never thinking that we deserve it, that we would come never thinking that we've done anything, but Lord, that our Savior did it all, and that we have been made new. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.